Bakari, you're supposed to save your text chat and put it on your wiki. The first week that you were here, I showed you how to do that, so that it doesn't matter what location you're in, okay? And that's the case for everyone. You to copy your text chat and save it on a wiki page that has your name and it has a class name, okay? And therefore, you wouldn't have this problem, okay? That is, you become computer independent. Even if your computer crashes, you can go to another computer and you have your notes, you have what you need for class, okay? All right, East Co., you're on it. Well, that's one part. He wanted to make life better for his family. Naja, that he dropped out of school, that's not what helped him pay. That was part of the situation. He dropped out of school because the family couldn't afford to pay school fees because they were hungry, because it was a drought. But you can, East Co., you're on the money. You're in the right direction. He wanted to make life better for his family. You know, he wanted to... All right, scroll on down. What you're looking for is what helped him tap into his genius. That's what he did. That's not what had him tap into his genius. He tapped into his genius, so he did use junkyard, junk stuff. And the book, his idea out of the book. No, actually. You see, that book was sitting there. Many people saw the book. What we're looking for is what facilitated him tapping into his genius. If you have your notes, it should be there. Yes, Naja, that's where East Coast was going. You were right on the money. Determination to solve problems for his family's people. Yes. Yes, Bakari, want to help out his family. All right, let me just... began to go, and I want you this to be in your notes because this is critical to help you tap into your genius. Okay. All right. Number one, there was connection. He was connected to his people and to his culture, to his family. What does connected mean? It means he cared. It means he respected his culture and respected his people. He respected his father. He also identified with it. That is, what happened to them happened to him. And he loved his people and his culture. And that is necessary in order for you to have what you just typed, Naja, and what you typed, Bakari and East Co. That is, if you're not connected, as in caring, respecting, identifying, and loving, then you will not be motivated to that extent to help your family and your people solve a problem. You might be motivated to help yourself if you're starving or if you need some food or whatever, but you won't be motivated to help yourself. Help your family and your people. Suppose, for example, someone had told him that the reason there was a drought is because his people there, the 60 people in that village, they were just bad people and God was punishing them. You think he would have been motivated to try to solve the problem? If somebody told him that, he believed it? Great, because them telling him that is alienation. But y'all to stick with this, because this is so important. If you get this, y'all are so far ahead of the world, okay? That was alienation. To alienate is like to separate. Like if there's an alien, that means there's somebody from another place, somebody who's not of the village, and you know, so it's somebody who's an outsider. And to alienate is to separate, okay? So if I become alienated from you, then that means I'm not close to you anymore. So a statement that's saying, oh, well, your people are to blame, that's their problem, that's all their fault. Then in that way, he becomes alienated from his people. And he won't allow him to tap into his genius, that part of him that says, I'm determined to help my family. And why are you going to help your family when, you know, already, you know, they can't be helped because of their fault in the first place? What are some ways that you hear that black people's problems, whatever problem you think that black people have, is our fault? Tell me some of the ways, some of the problems that you hear that we have, that you've been told or heard in the news or other places that, you know, our problems are our fault. Give me some of those problems. Give me some of those problems. Well, just think about some problems that our people have or our family have. You know, are we poor? Okay, are we broke? Okay, well, we don't call it slavery here, East Coast. Oh, come on, get to it, brother. Come up with another name. Come up with another name. I got you. I want you to stay with your point. But what do we call it here? All right, so let's keep it going. That's right, and captivity. So some people said captivity was our fault. Very good. That's right, some people so people are not. As a group of people, we're not poor at all. Let's take, are we in poor health? Yes, we are in poor health, okay? Do we have a lot of murders and too many, I don't say a lot, of murders and killing in our community? Mm-hmm. That's fine. We have both kinds. We have both kinds. Trust me. And you will learn about them as you go here. So the problems that you mentioned here and others, okay? If you believe that those problems we have and the reason that we have them is because we are our own worst enemy. Have you ever heard that? We don't believe that at I Education Institute. We don't mean that we don't have work to do and that we can't change our situation and that it's our responsibility to change our situation. We believe all of that. But we never, ever, 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 ever subscribe that we're on our own worst enemy. Even individually, I'm not my own worst enemy. If I believe that black people, that we're our own worst enemy, then what do you do to your worst enemy? What do you do to your worst enemy, East Coast? What do you do in the face of your worst enemy? You kill them, if you can. Okay? That's right, we obliterate them if they're our worst enemy. So if we run around believing that black people were our worst enemy, then what does that mean? That we will, as a conquer said, we will hurt each other, and we will try to obliterate each other. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have work to do. It doesn't mean that we can't change our situation. It doesn't mean that we, you know, can't take matters into our own hands. It does. But the notion that we are killing ourselves comes from a belief that we're our worst enemy. And we have to look at who plants that belief in us? Who plants that belief in us and who makes sure that it keeps, we keep going in our community? How does that belief get to be planted? Okay, many times your schools, they give you misinformation. Okay. You will learn as you are here, for example, how coming out of the period of physical captivity, African people were the best politicians, the best legislators. I'm talking about best, better than white ones and anybody else. How you will learn, and you don't know it yet, but you'll just learn the specifics. When I say learn it, I mean you know dates, places, facts, the processes. You'll learn that the legislation, that's right, that the legislation for public schools we created in many of the states in the South where we were in charge of the legislature. That in the South, there were no public schools before during this period of Reconstruction, then where we wrote the legislation. There were no places for people who were insane and mentally unstable before us, okay? So we were great legislators. We managed state budgets coming out of the war and inherited those state budgets in ruins and left it with a surplus. We also were the best business people, better than Jewish people, better than Asian people, better than anybody, better than white folks. We took the money that they had left over and we managed it so that we were able to buy property from them when they got in financial trouble. So we were excellent money managers, okay? We're excellent business people. But if you look around now, you don't see many of our businesses. You need to know what happened. And when you don't know what happened and you listen to others, you'll blame us. You'll say, we're just lazy. We just don't want anything. We don't care about education. We don't care about our children. All of those things that you hear are designed to stop you from connecting to and tapping into your genius by alienating you from your people and from yourself. Many people who believe that decide they don't even want to be associated with being African. They want to be a human being. They want to be a minority. They want to be somebody who happens to be black, but not somebody who's proud of being African. Okay? Because so many negative things have been associated with it. And that's because of miseducation and socialization, both through the media, through television, through your teachers, through miseducation, and many different groups in many different ways. And most times those people who are doing it are miseducated themselves. They don't mean you no harm, they just don't know better. that doesn't mean it doesn't do you harm, it just means that may not have been the intent. Now, if, and to the extent that you believe that, is the extent to which you won't be able to tap into your genius. Well, I don't believe that people don't care for themselves and their children. I don't believe that. I really don't. And I've seen people in various situations. But I do believe that our people care about ourselves and care about our children. Okay? No, I didn't say that. I said that's what you will hear, Nigel. You will never hear me say, I agree with you, okay, that people care about themselves and care about their children. And I love your clarifying that, or your being willing to disagree with that so that we could get clear. I said that's what other people will say to you in many different ways. You'll hear black people say it. You'll hear the news say it. You'll hear white people say it. And I don't believe it. It's not true. Now, it may appear that, okay, and that may be some of the thing on the surface, okay? Anyway, what the point that I want you to make, you understand here, is that we are alienated from our people so that we will serve aliens. Because if William Kimquaba had been told and believed that his people brought that on themselves, the drought, is their fault. They should have invested more money in irrigation. And after all, God was cursing them for not doing something. Then he would not be willing to serve his people. He would not have been able to lift himself by serving his people. Instead, he would want to separate himself from his people and identify with those people that they said were more God-like, okay, or who would follow the direction of whoever was telling him. When I went to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to get my degree, I sought to get an undergraduate degree, and then I sought to get a master's degree. And in that seeking, nobody asked me, or asked my mom, dad, sister, brother, cousin, anybody who knew and cared about me, what they wanted me to learn. Nobody asked my mother, nobody asked my father, or anybody what they wanted me to learn. Why? Why do you think they didn't ask my mom or dad or a preacher at a church that I went to church at that time, lawyers that I knew in my community, police officers that were my uncles and cousins, why didn't they ask them? What do you think?
They wanted to hear from you, probably.
No, they didn't ask me either, son. No, they weren't too ashamed of asking. All right. The purpose of education is to teach you to serve. Okay? You may serve by going to the army. You may serve by going into teaching. You may serve by becoming a biologist. Okay, that's the purpose of education. All right. Now, and if I'm going to teach you, Akanke, to serve, then I have to know what you're, to serve your family and serve your community. I have to know what your family and your community want, what jobs they have for you, what mission they have for you. If I know that, then I can, as I'm teaching math and science and social studies, I can prepare you so that your community will know that they not only have a person who's a great mathematician or a great writer or a great poet, but also a person who knows how to use that to solve the problems of that group. That's what education is for. But I wasn't at the University of North Carolina being prepared to serve my people and my community. What community was I being prepared to serve? You got it. No, Naja. They weren't preparing me to serve the black community, baby. Wish they were. If they would, they would have asked the black community what the black community needed. I was being prepared, Akanke is right on it. I was being prepared to serve the white community. No, well, you got to pay attention. Listen to what I'm talking about. Okay. I said I was being prepared. That's what their education was preparing me to do. Okay. And because if they were preparing me to serve my community, then they would have asked. They would have asked those people who run that community and run that family and who have responsibility for it. What is it that this do you want this young man to know? All right. Well, as he works his way and takes philosophy courses and takes various courses, what would you want him to be able to know or demonstrate? If they would have asked my father would have said he has to, as he's learning this speech communication and political science and various subjects, he has to be able to show that he can turn it into a business that can support his family. That's what my father would have said. Because my father was self-employed and he supported his family with his own business. And he would have wanted to make sure that I was able to do that. I never saw my father work a job. He worked harder for himself than he ever would have for anybody else. And so he would have wanted my education to make sure that it included a way for me to feed my family independently. And what difference would have made if after finishing the coursework, the administration there at the University of North Carolina said, well, son, you've finished all of our coursework and you've done well. In order for, however, for us to give you your degree, your father has required that you be able to demonstrate that you know how to turn this knowledge into a business that can feed your family. So we're going to need both a business plan for you, and we're also going to need for you to demonstrate that in a microcosm way by starting it into a business in a small way, but still that we can see and he could see that you know how to turn it into a business. Wow, wouldn't that have been revolutionary? If they would have asked my mother would have said, I want to be him to be able to explain what he learns to the least of these. I want him to be able to explain what he knows to the common person and to the king, okay? And so they would have said, well, Wakessa, you've done great here. You finished our coursework, and that's really great. But your mother has a requirement for us that we must meet in order for you to give you the degree and that you must meet. You must be able to demonstrate that you know axiology, epistemology. You know how to explain what you've learned to the least of these. So you must both write an essay showing that you know how to break these words and concepts that you've learned down. And you also must go on a speaking tour. And people will have to evaluate the level of understanding based on what you've taught them. Now, wouldn't that have been revolutionary? Just that, even just those two things to change the curriculum, just right even at the end. You see, but they were not preparing me to serve my community. They were alienating me from my community, separating me from my community, while pretending to educate me, or while giving me knowledge about various subjects, okay? I'm sorry, separating is spelled wrong. While teaching me math and science and social studies in advance, political science and the theories of education and the theories of Descartes and the theories of Locke and Aristotle and Plato, while they were teaching me those, they were alienating me from my community and preparing me to serve another community. Because I'd start caring for that. community. And what did I say caring mean? I'd start respecting. I'd start identifying. After all, I'm smart like them and I know the words they know. Ha ha ha. And I read what they read. I'd start respecting. I start caring, I start identifying with their community and reducing that respecting and identification with my community. Every time I would look at my community, look at that, they don't know how to talk. See, they don't, they split their infinitives. They don't know how to talk. Look at that, they don't know how to dress. Look at that, wear the hair like that. Look at that, we're our own worst enemy. All of those things, I would begin to be connected to the European community and be disconnected from my community. And I would not be able to tap into my genius in a way that would allow me to serve my people, because I wouldn't identify with the problems of my community. Okay? I would listen to their news to tell me what the problems of my community were. I wouldn't ask my grandmama. Okay? If my grandmama said there were problems, I would say, yeah, that's too small. I got that, but that's a little problem. Grandma, the big, real big problem is whatever the white folks said. All right, so let's go back to Kim Kwaba. Do y'all understand what we've gone through here? That is, the first thing that he used to tap, or that was critical, necessary for him to tap into his genius, was connection. And that connection is defined by key words, caring. Y'all with me? Finish the rest. What are the other key words that really describe the connection? After caring was what? Everybody, fire up the text chat. All right, come on, East Coast, where you at, brother? The way I know you're not at another website is when I ask a question like that, you're able to fire it up the way Akanke is. Otherwise, I assume that you're doing something different. Come on, Naja Brown. No, sister, you ain't been paying attention. You just haven't been paying attention. I'm trying to do what? You're trying to think? Whenever I ask a question, and if you don't know, then you type thinking in the text chat. That lets me know you heard me and you're thinking. Okay, I already told you that. No, determination was not even in the mix. Gee whiz. Thank you, Akanke. Thank you very much. Naja already said connection. I was asking what the components of the connection were, sister. Okay? So you're not paying attention either. You know. Alright. Well, what's important is you're amazed when you see somebody like Kim Kwaba and you'll say he's smart. But what I'm telling you and showing you is how he taps into his genius so that you know how to do the same thing and do it in service of your people. And, you know, and I suppose this is not of interest to you. It's more for you to be amazed at somebody so smart. Ha, ha, ha. Yes. All right. Number two, after connection, is because he cared, loved, respected, identified with it, then he did what all of you said earlier. He was determined to solve or to help solve. The families and communities' problems. That's right, Isco. Caring, love, identification, respect. So number two was he's determined to solve the families and communities' problems. You will see if he doesn't identify with the community, if he doesn't respect his community, if he doesn't love or care about his community, if any of those have holes in them, if any of those are weak, then he won't tap into it. It won't then allow that determination to be strong. Now think about it. Think about it yourself. Suppose you're riding in a car, and out of the blue, a truck comes in. You know, hits you, your family's in the car, okay? And you're riding, you know, on a bridge, okay? And your car is, you know, docked in the river. and your family is there and everybody's trying to get out, or let's say everybody is unconscious, the car is there, it's not sinking so fast, but everybody is unconscious but you. Of course, I hope that would never happen. Everybody is unconscious but you. You're a little beat up, but you are conscious. Everybody's bumped their heads and they're unconscious, and the car is in the water, and the water is slowly coming into the car. And the only thing, only person who can save them is you. But you've never been in this situation before. You don't have walkie-talkies. You don't have all the tools. Will you do everything you can do to get your family out of that situation? There are many different things that you may be able to do. Busting the windshield may not be the best thing to do. But I'm not saying it wouldn't. It may be. Your mind will be thinking a mile a minute. And that's because you care about your family and you are aware that there's an immediate problem. And your genius brain would go. Now, with that determination, yes, very good. It may work, Isco. I haven't thought about the situation, so you may already be ahead of the game with me on it. Okay. One of the things that I would suggest, because you think so quickly, and I really like that, that you start saying stuff like, "I would." Because it sounds like you are saying, like, you should, or here's what people should do. And what happens is you'll get resistance because it's like, I don't know if I do that or not. Okay, I don't know if that would be a big thing. But when you say, I would do this, then I can hear that and respect that. And that becomes an option for me to consider. Okay? So instead of saying, like, this is what you ought to do, say, I would do this. And you will find that many people will be able to hear you and hear your genius, because you won't be building in the resistance that comes from sounding like you're telling somebody what they should do or what is the best thing to do in life, as opposed to this is the best thing for me or this is the thing that I would do. Okay? Try that. I think you'll find that people will hear you a lot more and a lot better if you say, I would. Okay? Notice that's the same thing I ask you to do when you're doing options for students. To say, if it were me, I would have or I might have, okay? Because you should brings up defensiveness, okay? All right, it also has it where, you know, the person sometimes can't hear it because they're trying to evaluate whether they should do it or not, even before they heard it, all right? So the point is, because you care about your family, you love your family, you might do something that you never thought possible, okay? Never thought possible, okay, that nobody's never thought of before, okay? You are tapping your genius because you care about those that are there, okay? You're not just saving yourself. You want to save your family, and because of that, you will tap into your genius. Now, whatever, that's right. It is no telling. I know of people, one time a woman, a man was working on a car, and the jack slipped and fell on him. And he was pinned under the car. And his wife, who was like 140 pounds, this is no made-up story, this is a story that I know, lifted the car off of him. Okay? She tapped into some power, okay, and lifted the car off of him. Now, suppose she really didn't care about him. Suppose he was, sleeping around anyway and just not treating her bad, and she really wasn't. She was kind of alienated from him, okay? If she was alienated from him, do you think she would have tapped into that power? Well, now you're telling me more than I would think. You don't know what I would think. You don't know what I would think. You're gonna stay in trouble, okay? You could just say it happens a lot. Yes, it does, okay? If you tell me more than I would think, you don't know that. You don't know what I think, okay? So keep that. Keep the you. Watch that, East Coast. You keep going back to that, okay? You don't know what I think about that. I may already know that, okay? All right, so I understand that, but listen. Listen to me, son, okay? Please listen. Because I know that you are a genius. I love that you are a genius. Okay, I identify with you, okay? And all I'm saying is you can just trade on the wisdom of my years because I've been where you are. And you can, if you stop using you so much, okay, in that kind of situation, and I know it's a habit. I know that's not what you meant, but it's what you said, and it'll hook people in those same kind of ways. So you can say the same thing. You know, that happens more than you think. Or you guess what you could say? That happens a lot. It happened more than I thought it would happen. You see, it happens much more than I thought it would. Check that out. It happens much more than I thought it would happen before I knew. Check that out. Now I'm interested. Okay? All right? So just encourage you to work with that. And you write a Conkey and others, she'd leave him under the car. Even though she was still married to him. If she was alienated from him, instead of tapping into that genius, she would have left him in the car. Or, oh, baby, I can't see. Oh, I can't. Here's a car, whatever. Now, you got number two. Number one, he was connected to the culture. Number two, based on being connected to the culture, he was determined to help and solve people. Number three, they took confidence from the culture, family, and community. Now, you best to believe that the confidence he has, because many of us are determined. I'm determined to swim. I'm determined to lose weight. I'm determined to go to college. I'm determined to whatever. And often, we don't make it even though we make statements of determination. He took confidence from the culture, from the family, from the community. He was there among farmers, and he'd seen his dad many times in different ways make a way out of no way. He'd seen people live in his culture and community. And while he'd never seen them do that, he'd seen them do many things. Okay, this is why knowing what your people have done and do is so important. It is not just so that you can call out a roll of Black history people. Okay, it is also necessary in order for you to be able to tap into your genius. Yes, you may. So that's number three. And number four. He refused to be limited by his apparent circumstances. What do I mean by apparent? Look up that word. He refused to be limited by his apparent circumstances. Okay, current, that's one guess. Check it out. Check out apparent, see what it means. Sometimes you hear people say apparently, okay. But what does apparent mean?
I mean, from the evidence that you have, it seems that you can figure out the situation.
Yes, now, I'll give you the video that we're referring to. Actually, we all can see it again because we're just about done. And then I'll ask the other students to review this for you. East Coast looked up a definition, capable of apparent, capable of being seen or easily seen, open to view, visible to the eye, clear or manifest to understanding. Okay. All right. All right, so when this statement is, he refused to be limited by his current circumstances, then how does that fit with that definition there? East Co? Oops, wrong thing. Sorry about that. It didn't copy. All right, he refused to be limited by his apparent circumstances. So if you use East Coast, the definition you put in, by the circumstances that can be easily seen, by the circumstances that are open to view, the ones that are visible to the eye, those were his apparent circumstances. So what does that imply? If those were apparent circumstances, that is, what were his apparent circumstances? Come on, y'all, tell me or type. What were his apparent circumstances? The circumstances that were easy to the eye, easy to be seen. He didn't limit himself by those circumstances that were plain in view, clear in the open. What were some of those that were clear, plain in the open? Some of those things that limited him, very good. Because there was a drought, okay? Well, it wasn't clear that somebody, well, okay, fine, that there was a drought. That was one thing that was clear, all right? Very good, Bakari. Easy to be seen that there was a drought. What else? What was some situation? Very good, East Coast. He was poor. That was clear. They were poor. He also said earlier, they were hungry. Those are situations that were clear. What did he say? We dropped down to the food would run right through us, and we just dropped down, right? So these were situations that would limit many people, okay? Was he, could he read English? Could he read the books that were there? Actually, not very much. You'll listen to it again. You'll hear him say, okay? Actually, no. No, I don't. But I'll tell him I'll be there in a second. Tell him I'll be there in a second. All right, so if he refused to be limited by his apparent circumstances, then there were, all right, great. Then they're doing some other, there were some other circumstances that couldn't be seen. All right, and that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about those circumstances that were not easily seen. Those circumstances that weren't apparent, those circumstances that were not open to view. Okay, Najee, I'm sorry, don't know what happened. So he refused to be limited by his apparent circumstances, and his real circumstances is what he focused on. All right, yes, I'm gonna have you look at it again. Now that we've talked about this, and then I want y'all to give Nile a review of what we've talked about in terms of the four things that were needed in order for him to tap into his genius. And there's more, but we'll stop with those four right now. And I expect for you to be able to, during demonstrations, if I show that video, for y'all to be able to talk about the things that aren't apparent, okay? What's apparent? He's poor. What's apparent? It's a drought. What's apparent? They're hungry, okay? What's apparent, as Bakari said, somebody needs to do something about it, okay? What's not apparent is that it is not easily seen, his connection to his people, caring, respect, love, identification. What's not apparent is his determination, the confidence that he pulled from that. Most people wouldn't even think that he could pull any confidence from that situation. From that poor, backwards African country, okay? Confidence, where would he get confidence from? This is why they want to say he's a genius, like it just came out of the sky someplace, okay? These things were not apparent, but they were real, and he used them as a bridge to tap into his genius. So, we're going to get there and see if there's anything that you missed before. See if there's anything that you missed before, okay? Hold on for the link. Just making sure that it's the right one. Tell me when it started. All right, folks, if you're done, now this is the first time you've seen it. We'll let you talk about what your thoughts are, feelings, reactions, and then we'll have others. Very good. Now you're on it. He said, trust yourself. He said, those who are his Africans, but he put a qualifier. Which Africans? Which Africans? Those who are doing what? Struggling with your dreams. Struggling with your dreams. Okay? Those. Now, if you have no dreams, then you can forget it. And his dreams, what was his dreams? As a young man at 14, now he's 20. What were his dreams then? That's right, Akanke, and all others of you, trust yourself. Believe and don't give up. That's what he said. Now, he said, those who are struggling with your dreams, okay? And the question is, what dreams did he have? What were his dreams at that time, at 14? No, his dream wasn't to get an education. That was part of it, so that he could solve a problem. So yes, I agree with you. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say no. Yes, that was a part. He wanted to solve the problems of his folks, so his family and village wouldn't be hungry. And you remember? Okay. By lifting. Hold on a second. By lifting his community, you remember we said he lifted himself. By lifting his community, you're right, those of you who said to help us people out of drought, to help us people get food, and then more. I'm going to let you listen to another video of him because he's also published this book that would be great to get, one, just to provide some support. And I encourage you also to email him. All right, so let's press play and type start it when it's started.
Bobo Chester, when we click on the link, some block comes up that says popular services and it's listing MySpace, Bebo, and Blogger, and other stuff.
All right, let's try this one here. See if we can get it from here. Click on that first one and see if it'll take you there. I sent you to a Google page, search page, and click on the first one. See what you get. Tell me if it comes up for you then. You should go to a page. You'll see his. Welcome, Safia. Okay, great. Safia, I'm giving you a link here. Click on it and click on the first link, the one that says author, the boy who harnessed the wind. All right, are you done? All right, let's take a look at some of the pictures up close. All right, look at the first, scroll down to see some of the pictures. You know, that's the windmill from behind. Notice the wood that he's using. Whatever he could find. All right, you should be done. All right, any discussion? Did you hear anything, any details new that you missed last time? And do you see, for those who were in earlier, would you review what those four steps were for him to tap into his genius? Let's do it quick, because it's 10:36, time to go. No, I don't. I actually don't watch television very much at all, Isco. I try not to. It's too much propaganda. All right. Thank you, Akanke. For Safia and now, I encourage you to talk to Bakari, Isco, Akanke, and Naja, because part of what we talked about is, and you will see again, for those of you, please keep your notes, And about how he tapped into his genius, and we look at how then we can tap into ours. See, it's not enough to say, wow, he's smart, he was whatever. You want to understand, you know, how things happen, okay, so that you can duplicate them. You're a social scientist, and you're, when you're in physics, you're in physical sciences, but also you're a social scientist, to understand how things work, how to change them, how to duplicate what needs to be duplicated, how to eradicate what needs to be eradicated. All right, it's been great being with you. And let's see here, now you should be getting ready to go into the, and I'll check, see if Brother Balagun's here, because engineer operations management is where you need to be. So you can say appreciations or anything you want to say, and after that, we're out of here. Okay, excuse me, what are these sites, East Coast? Help me out, brother. Hit the talk now button. Your mic works.
The second one is a school. They're both for visual, what's it called? Visual effects on computers and in entertainment. Digital Apprentice was Brother Balogun's about to come into this class, right?
Yeah, I just want to know what it's about. Okay, so actually, I don't get a school. Oh, I see. I suppose these are links. All right. Yeah. All right. Take care. Y'all please save your text chat from here.
Okay.
I'm out. I mean, if Brother Balogun's not in, I'll be back in, but I'm out right now.